We're on the highway to climate hell, the chilling words of the UN Secretary General at the outset of the COP27 gathering in Sharm el-Sheikh. Is the world any safer 2 weeks on, and have commitments and targets been transformed into actions? Well, as we enter the final day of the two-week gathering, another warning from Antonio Guterres. He is warning of a breakdown of trust and said the blame game is a recipe for mutually assured destruction. He urged the countries, the 194 nations, to act quickly. Will they heed his words? From Sharm el-Sheikh, I'm joined by our environment correspondent, George Lee. Some word overnight, George, that we may have a breakthrough. What can you tell us?
Well, we got to the point where it's not quite a breakthrough, but it is an advance for certain. The European Union was very concerned about the way things were going in terms of the key issue of loss and damage. That's the way they describe the term. And what it means is this whole discussion about wealthier countries who have been responsible for the increase in greenhouse gas emissions in the main historically, that they should be able, that they should provide funding for helping all those countries who are suffering from the ravages of climate change, and it's in terms of loss and damage. It started off being compensation for loss and damage, but that is an open-ended commitment with legal kind of tones to it, and there's no way that the richer countries were going to accept that, so it's now just called loss and damage. Now, what happened was that Europe was very concerned about the way things were shaping up, because they are very much in favour of such a fund and more assistance for those countries in those dire needs, but they didn't want the wrong kind of a system to be set up. And so the original demand, and the demand even up until now from the group of 77 developing countries plus China, is a political statement of intent that you're going to provide this money and we'll get the money by the end of next year, that kind of thing. But Europe said, no, we have to talk about this. Where's the money going to come from? Who's going to contribute to it? Who is a developing country and so on? And these things were really, really sticking points. But overnight, they got to the point that Europe said, right, we're prepared now to put an offer on the table. That is where we are. So that's an advance rather than a breakthrough. And the offer which they're putting on the table, and it's a formal offer, is to set up what they're calling a loss and damage response fund. And the key thing in it is that it'll come from a variety of sources, that it will come from lots of governments at the moment who can afford to put the money in, but also the scope is there to look for China to put some money in. Now, China was one of those countries which 30 years ago was classed as a developing country and would be getting money out. So that's an important thing. The second thing is their formally putting on in their offer that they want to be sure that they can come back to the likes of the oil and gas industry and put levies on them globally. The shipping industry, put levies on them. The aviation industry, all huge, huge sources of greenhouse gas emissions down through the centuries, and that they want them to be made to contribute as well, even if it is by form of a levy. So innovative forms of finance. They want to look at the rules in relation to how this will work, and so they put on the table what it is they feel that they could make progress on, which is what they originally wanted. So that's an important thing. And then they're also putting on the table suggestions about increased ambition and about mitigation and so on. But the number one thing is that moving forward, that Europe feels it's able to make the offer now in relation to the loss and damage. And that is an important indication that progress has been made.
Yeah, progress. But it does sound, George, from what you're saying, that there is a lot of work still to do. This COP was being billed as the implementation COP. What at least are the heads of a likely deal?
Well, the key things they need to get is they need to get, and the number one litmus test, we were told, of this implementation COP was going to be this new thing of loss and damage. Okay, that's the number one thing that they've got to get. Otherwise, it'll be considered to be a failure. And remember that that loss and damage issue wasn't on the agenda until just right before the whole thing started. It was that controversial. So if they actually make progress on that, that would be a huge thing. The implementation that they're speaking about is everybody signed up to the Paris Climate Accord. The Paris Climate, and we're talking about 194 countries here. The Paris Climate Accord said that everybody will make sure that global warming doesn't get above 2 degrees of Celsius and will do absolutely everything to make sure it doesn't get above 1.5 degrees. We're halfway since Paris to the 2030 deadline, which is a key deadline in terms of that whole approach of trying to stop the rise in global temperatures. And they're stocktaking and seeing, well, where are we? Who has implemented what? The one thing which wasn't implemented fully, and it's absolutely critical, and it comes back to the same thing as loss and damage, is funding is finance. So they need to have an increase in finance apart from loss and damage. And on that it is that developed countries had promised 100 billion euro a year of climate finance, which would be available for developing countries to help them to prepare themselves and to respond and to adapt to climate change. And that money is still short. So they need to get that implemented. They want to see that money on the table. That's one of the big things. The other thing is implement the promises and the pledges which they've given in terms of all the countries of greenhouse gas reductions, emissions pledges. How are you going to cut them? Where? What are you saying you're going to do? And on that, some countries have come with increased ambitions on that. For instance, Europe is going to go for a 57% reduction in greenhouse gases instead of 55, and 29 other countries before the whole thing started have increased their ambitions. That's the kind of implementation they're speaking about.
George Lee in Sharm el-Sheikh, thank you very much. 19 minutes past 7.